With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 132, Clean Slate. Feel like I haven't talked to y'all all year. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you for tuning in to the first Purple Pants Podcast of 2022. If you have not already, okay? If you didn't subscribe all last year, let this new year be the year that you subscribe to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Hit the subscribe button, okay? Write a review and give your baby boy some 5 stars. Happy New Year! Feliz Navidad! How is everyone doing? Listen, new year, who this? I am just excited that we have, listen, we got 2020 out the way. We got 2021 out the way. I am hoping that 2022 know how to act. Listen, I'm literally looking at 2022 like, let's say, come in here, sit your behind down, don't touch nothing, don't do nothing. Just be, okay? I'm literally treating 2022 like I'm a parent of four, okay? And we're going shopping. Keep your hands in the cart. Don't touch nothing. Don't ask for nothing. But I am excited, though. With every new year, I feel like comes a clean slate. And you know your baby boy don't believe in New Year's resolutions, you know, because I'm on the road. But there is something about just the essence of the start of a new year, a clean slate, and you can make of it what you want. It's like starting a new job. It's like moving into a new apartment. It's like starting a new friendship. It's like starting a new relationship. It's like, you know what? You learn from the past and the things that you did not like, you know, what you didn't like at that old job, and you went out and found a new job to give you those better things, what you didn't like in that old relationship. Okay, you found in a new relationship, what you ain't like about that old house or old apartment when you were searching, you know, it's a clean slate. And I am hoping that everyone feels that way in moving into 2022. What you didn't like about yourself, your insecurities, you know, we're letting it go and it's a clean slate. And, you know, we are telling ourselves, not just telling ourselves, but we are believing that we could be what we want to be. And so that's what I love about the new year. You know, everybody on a diet, everybody working out. Now, listen, your baby boy got to get on a diet myself. Not a diet, though. Get me together, posse, a lifestyle change. You know, the baby boy likes to wet the whistle. And listen, it's been a long time. So wait a minute. I am wetting the whistle. Today's wetting of the whistle is courtesy of Barb and John, my parents. While I was at their house, I did a little grocery shopping as I always do. And when I was leaving, I was like, Mom, let me get this bottle of tequila. And my mom was like, don't let John see. Also, while we were on the subject, let me tell y'all about a Christmas gift that John gifted me. So, anytime I go to my mom's house, you know, your baby boy loves to take a bath. And One of the things that I love the most is that, well, here's another thing. The older I get, the more I realize I do not like grocery shopping. Like, I used to like grocery shopping, and maybe when I get in, like, you know, a relationship and I'm in a two-person household, maybe I will fall in love again with, like, grocery shopping. But, like, as it stands in my life right now, I don't got time. And I feel like Uber Eats, Grubhub, Instacart, they are my friends. Although it's a little bit costly, but, you know, when it's a pay week, you know, I will, like, just judge me if you want, but I'd rather just lay in my bed and then, like, the thought of, like, getting dressed to go to the grocery store. So I say that to say that when I go to my mom's house and when I'm about to leave, I always love it because, like, Barb and John, they always are like, do you need anything? You need a can of beans? Yeah, here, take this ham, take this juice. Like, you know, so I always go grocery shopping. Now, I am one that is really big on, like, scents. I love for each room in my home to have a different scent. I love when I go away, even if I'm going to the store, not the grocery store, if I'm going to Target or somewhere or the mall or the post office and I come back to my home, I love for it, like, when I walk in the door, I love for it to smell. I'm really big on, like, oil burners. And I'm also really big on, like, an air wick, you know, like the air wick plugins. So I have one in mostly every room in my house. But listen, the air wick plugins is kind of expensive. I normally get them at, like, Target. You can get, like, I think it's like 2, 4, 4, maybe 5 for like $9.99. But my mom and John, see, they go to Costco's. So they always get, like, the 16 or 20 pack of the air wicks. So whenever I go to my mom and John's and they're, like, packing up, you know, the goodies for me, I always go in their laundry room and I always, like, I don't steal. It's more like, I wouldn't say borrowing, but it's more like I am love gifting to myself. You know, because that's a thing. You can love gift to yourself. So I love gift to myself. They, like, I'll take 20 pack of the air wicks. I always, like, love gift about 4 of them. And so it's always a good thing when I get back home from their house. I always, like, you know, put the air wicks, plug them in. And so I don't even ever, like, tell my mom this or John this. Like, we never have a conversation about it. And, you know, I'm assuming that they notice, because sometimes I literally will take the last one and then I'll, like, throw the pack away. Or sometimes it's a fresh pack and I just take 4. But on Christmas morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning when we were all taking shots, my mom was like, John really wants to give you this gift. And so I'm like, okay. And I'm always shy when it comes to, like, people giving me gifts and, like, opening it in front of people. So, but I'm like, well, what does John want to give me? Okay. Like, is he paying off my student loans? Cause if it ain't that, I don't want it. So I open this box that's clearly wrapped by my mom and signed by my mom to Bryce from John, even though it's in Barb's handwriting. And my mom used to do that to us as a children. I can remember, like, when I'm like 7, 8, 9, it would be like to Bryce from Santa. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Cause, like, you know, it's my mom's handwriting. My mom has, like, very specific handwriting. Anyway, I'm rambling, but I open it and baby, it is a Costco's air wick. Okay. John. And I bust out laughing because I'm like, wait a minute. Y'all noticed? So, and my mom is like, yes, we know when you leave, you always take the air wicks with you. So, okay. Shout out to John. Okay. But listen, the best grocery stores are your parents' house when the credit is love and you don't have to pay. And I'm just so excited because, listen, they gifted your baby boy the Costco's 20 pack. So listen, that's saving me a couple of dollars. It's a clean slate and my house is smelling amazing. So it was, the holiday season was really fun. And I had a good time spending it with my brothers, my family. And I talked about this before, but, you know, like, my family, like, we're not that close. Like, I'm very close with my mom,
close with my sister, my nephew, but my brothers, we're not that close. And I have to say, like, this Thanksgiving, Christmas was somewhat unusual. We all were getting along, and it just had me reflecting to the times of when we were children. And, you know, my late brother Bevin was alive, and it just gave me very fond memories. So I was really just elated to spend the holidays with my family. I know y'all like, okay, baby boy. And another thing that I wanted to touch upon in the first monologue of the first Purple Pants podcast of 2022 is recognizing growth in yourself. You know, we're saying a clean slate where you get to start over, but also I think that it's just so important to recognize the growth in yourself and realizing that where I am today is not where I was at a year ago. And where I thought I was at a year ago was, like, you know, amazing. But when I say that I'm on the road to a better Bryce, I really inactively try to just be a better person, not only to my friends and my families, but to myself. And share a quick little anecdote with you guys. Right before the New Year's, one of my friends invited maybe two of us, close friends, to like a private soft opening, I should say, a soft opening of a restaurant in, you know, my local area. And I was really excited just to kind of sort of just be with my friends and be on myself. And during the dinner, I actually got into an argument with one of my closest friends. And it was like just maybe a misunderstanding, but in the moment, I just felt attacked. And I, you know, just takes me back to a place. Whenever I feel attacked or whenever I feel like somebody is coming at me, I resort to like Bryce in eighth grade. And I don't always like that because I feel like Bryce in eighth grade doesn't respond appropriately or any of that. So anyway, I got into a disagreement with one of my friends and just, I felt some type of way. However, in the midst of this disagreement, I very soon in the disagreement realized that the time of this conversation is not appropriate. And the mood, the libations of it, it's not the appropriate time to have this conversation. And again, I just recognize the growth in myself because regular Bryce, spicy Brycey, eighth grade Bryce would have wanted to like go in. However, in that moment, I'm like, this is a beautiful night. I'm having a great time. Let's table this for another time. And I essentially shut the conversation down. Now, mind you, when I say I'm on a road to a better Bryce, I really am on a road to a better Bryce. And so in that moment where I shut the conversation down, that was, you know, progress. However, spicy Brycey and eighth grade Bryce still live in me. And so I was still bothered by the conversation. And when it was time to leave the restaurant, okay, I'm going to be honest. This is a safe space. I can, you know, be real with y'all. And again, the restaurant was like surprisingly in my area. It was amazing. The food was great. Adelina's and Chestnut Hill. Anybody in the area, listen, check out Adelina's. However, due to the libations and just due to the nature of the conversation, my friends, you know, we were walking back to the car and baby boy proceeded to just walk home. Okay. I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to be in the car with this energy. And so my friends were like, are you kidding me right now? But I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to walk home. And so my friends, they like follow me a street and was like, get in the car, we'll take you home. I'm like, no. They like, get in the car, we'll take you home. I'm like, no. And then baby, they drove off. Now, mind you, if they would have asked me a third time, I probably would have got in the car because it's a little cold. But anyway, Petty Bryce still kind of sort of reared his ugly head. However, the next morning, I was able to have a conversation with my friend and we were able to just talk about the disagreement, talk about the actual core of the disagreement, talk about how I handled the situation, talked about how they handled the situation, talked about moving forward if we ever have a disagreement again, like how we would prefer to handle a situation. And we just squashed it. And I say this story to say that there is just so much growth in that, because the old Spicy Brycey will hold a grudge. The old Spicy Brycey wouldn't answer a phone call. The old Spicy Brycey would just be petty in a lot of different ways. Again, I'm on this road to a better Bryce, and I want a clean slate for my life. And I don't want to bring the new year in with disagreements with people that I care about, people that I love. And after I had that conversation with my friend, I really recognized the growth. And I was like, wow, like, this is growth. This is like, you know, and it might seem so minuscule and it might seem little, but for me, it's so huge. I like to be transparent. I like to be open with the people that I love, the people that I care about, like that, the people that are in the spaces that I allow them to be in. I am just proud of the road that I am on. And so again, when I preach and when I talk about the road to a better Bryce, it really means something to me because I see the growth. And I hope that, you know, anyone that is listening or that is a member of the Purple Pants Posse can look back and reflect on a year ago, 2 years ago, a month ago, a week ago, and be like, wow, like, you know, I see the growth and I feel like it needs to be celebrated because, you know, it's the little things for me. However, I am really excited for this week's episode. I know I just took up a lot of your time, but there was just stuff I had to, like, you know, I had to clean the slate. I wanted to let the posse know what's up. And I am wishing everyone a happy new year. And I am just elated that we were able to make it to this milestone. I'm super excited about this week's episode. It is a casualty with Amon and B-Week. And your baby boys are brewing up our thoughts on, listen, the drunk Don Lemon on CNN. Tammy Roman going viral off of a clip from the Real World Los Angeles reunion on Paramount Plus. The Jussie Smollett verdict, the Louisiana judge that resigned after she was caught using racial slurs, the CDC and the COVID changes, the truck driver that was sentenced to 110 years. So listen, your baby boys are starting the year off with some interesting and juicy and thought-provoking topics. Of course, Miss Barb had to come and bless the posse with Barb's message, and we got Freak of the Week. So listen, clear the slate. Let's get into these church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
With 2022 here, it's only right to start your 2022 with the Bryce Isaiah 2022 Zaddy calendar. I have a couple left, so listen, bless your life, and make sure you support your baby boy and get yourself a Bryce Isaiah Zaddy calendar. I'm already on the works for the 2023 calendar, okay? Listen. And I wanted to remind everyone that is listening that, listen, you know, we done restocked up on some Purple Pants merch. So show your support that you are a Purple Pants podcast member with the Zaddy hats. Okay, we got a new Purple Pants podcast hat. We have some writing pens and some wine glasses. So come on and wet the whistle with your baby boy while you listen to the podcast. Click the link in my bio on Instagram, Twitter. Okay, the Bryce Isaiah online shop, and support your baby boy. Let's keep the menu rolling. Let's keep the menu rolling. Let's get into the casualty.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. It's a casual tea with Amon and B.
friends, we are back this year. Okay, not this week, but we are back this year with your casualty. Hello, happy new year, everyone. Happy. We are back with one of the favorite segments, or my personal favorite segment on the Purple Pants Podcast is the casualty. And I'd have to welcome back the esteemed, the honorable.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to give you your flowers in 2022. The baby boy Aman. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, old acquaintance be forgot.
Oh.
Something. I forget the words.
Oh. I don't even know if I know it. Hold on, wait. To old acquaintance be forgotten. Okay, yeah, I don't know.
That's literally all I know. All I know is Auld Lang Syne.
And you're supposed to sing that on New Year's Eve to, like, is that the holiday? Okay.
Mariah Carey has a version of it.
Oh.
It's, like, unbeknownst to a lot of people. But I used to work at this restaurant in downtown Philly a couple years ago. And we would have, like, New Year's parties. And they would always, like, starting at, like, 11:59, they would put that song on. And then, like, the DJ would, like, extend it. It's like, once you get to the part where it's, like, Auld Lang Syne, it would just, like, she would just, like, hold the note for, like, the 10-second countdown and then finish the song once it was Happy New Year's. It was really cool.
Okay.
Side note.
I'm here for it. Well, how was your holidays? How was your new year?
All right. So, my holidays were a little weird. I did post about this on Twitter earlier. I did, unfortunately, test positive for COVID.
Oh, no.
I got the news about it literally on Christmas morning. So I left for home to Pittsburgh on the 23rd. I spent like all of Christmas Eve, like watching a bunch of Christmas movies with my parents. And then I went back upstairs to the attic to quarantine. Literally Christmas morning, I get the text from the lab that my results were positive. Oh. And so I spent all of Christmas morning just like alone. And I quarantined in there for like 6 days, just upstairs. My parents did feed me. They were kind of making jokes that I was like a ghoul in the attic.
Oh, no, not a ghoul.
But yeah, so it was weird. I mean, it was nice though, because I was in my childhood home and it was familiar and I wasn't able to be around anybody, but it was still, you know, it wasn't so bad. It could be worse.
No, for sure. But how are you feeling? How is your family?
So I think that I went through the worst of it before I left, because I thought there was a chance that I might have had it. And I tested negative with an at-home test, which obviously was false. So I had like a really bad fever one night, and then I took an Advil, it broke the fever, and then I was pretty much okay from then on. And then as every day went past, like, I just got better and better and better. And I was pretty much good before I left for Philly. But then literally as of like 2 days ago, I've been coughing up a storm again. So I don't really know what's going on. I mean, I feel fine besides the cough, but it's just annoying.
I know, for sure. But listen, I'm glad that it's just a cough and you're not in the hospital on no ventilator. Okay, shout out to the vaccine and the booster.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
So that is not the greatest, but I am happy that you are feeling well and up to, you know, recording the casualty.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still kicking. Like, the vaccines work, guys. They do work. Because I can only imagine if I did not have the vaccines, I would be in a much worse spot. So, you know, get boosted, get vaxxed. If you have it, quarantine yourself. I would say quarantine yourself for 10 days, even though the CDC is
listen, we got that on the tea kettle this week, too. So listen. Mm-hmm. So, well, I am glad that you're here. And I'm sorry to hear that you got the Omarion. Okay. But, you know, listen, life goes on, and listen, we're going to get through this, but let's jump right into the casualty. I was trying to think of like the tea packets, like trying to think of like the topics, but let's get into, we haven't recorded the casualty in a long time. You know, we go on hiatus and we come back, but you know, there are some things that we missed while we were gone. So we tried to keep it like some new stuff, some old stuff, and some funny stuff.
Yeah, because you've been on here gallivanting for like the Survivor finale and everything.
You know, baby.
I'm glad that you didn't catch it, because didn't, Were you, wait, was Michelle at your party or no?
Michelle was.
Mm. Well, so you dodged a bullet then.
It's, yeah, I was in Florida. You know, I was in Hoboken. I was in DC. So yeah. And, again, for me, was I very paranoid because going home to the holidays, like, you know, I didn't want to get anyone sick. And so I literally like bought 20 at home tests. I went to get like my PCR test. I went to get the rapid test. Like, you know, I was like taking so many tests and, they all were coming back negative, which I was like grateful for, but I was just still like nervous, like, you know, being as though I had been around people, that have tested positive. It was just like, you know, even if, you know, I feel like the test is saying no, but I still feel like, you know, I want to be cautious and I want to be careful. So it was just a crazy time. And just even in the world today, it's like, you know, like you said, like you still have a cough. I could be out and like, you know, my nose start to tinkle and I got to sneeze. I'm like, oh, like I feel like I have to hold it in. Like, I don't know. It's a crazy time, but, it is good that like, you know, we're able to get tested and to know, but thankfully I have tested negative and, you know, my family is all well. We had to get together, you know, for the holidays and everyone was well. So I'm very blessed and grateful, for that. But yeah, it's, you know, baby boy was out and about, you know, they said we outside.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Omicron is, it's real. It's real contagious, y'all. Like, it's very, very, very contagious. Like, there's a term in epidemiology, I guess. It's called like the R naught. And so, like, basically what that means is it's a value for how transmissible a virus can be. And so they're estimating that the Omicron variant has an R naught of 10, meaning that every person that gets infected will most likely infect 10 more people.
Oh my God.
So it's very, and those 10 people will infect 10 people will infect 10. So it's very, very transmissible. Hopefully, and this appears to be the case for now. I mean, we've only been dealing with it for like maybe about a little under a month now. Hopefully Omicron is just very, very transmissible, but not deadly.
Right.
And so, you know, some people are saying, well, if a bunch of people catch it, maybe then we will achieve that herd immunity. I don't think that's possible. I don't think that people are going, I think that herd immunity is like just not the goal. I think that we should just get vaccinated.
Right. Okay. Yes. Get vaccinated. Yeah. And I read somewhere that it was like every 3 seconds in America, somebody, catches, the Omicron variant. I was like,
I love that Omicron is actually like taking that in stride. Like,
yeah. Well, he should. He posted something on like New Year's Day. Like, I'm reading something from my lawyers, like trying to be funny. And which was funnier in that video. He was like, I had to go through something like this 21 years ago when I was in the group B2K and Y2K came out. I was like, that is funny. And mind you, if I was a Morion, not for nothing, you know, I would use it like
some shirts, baby.
Make a song or something. Like, I don't know. I would definitely ride the momentum, even though it's not the best momentum to ride. But listen, if people confusing your name, get a coin, get a check. Step you up, okay? But yeah, so let's get right into our tea bags. I don't know, maybe that's not a good term. Well, we'll test it out. So the first tea bag, no, I don't even like that. The first flavor of tea that we have this week is Drunk Don Lemon on CNN, okay? So, everyone knows the cable news network, CNN, they do a New Year's Eve special every year. And it is really legendary in the sense of that Anderson Cooper. Now, mind you, Anderson Cooper used to co-host it with Kathy Griffin. But we all know when Kathy Griffin posted that photo of the Donald Trump head, Trump's head, you know, she lost all of her sponsorships. And CNN dropped her. So now it is Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper. And I really just love them to see their dynamic together. And, you know, Anderson Cooper is more a reserved, you know, when we see him on CNN Tonight, he's like, you know, he's very into his job and very serious. And we know Andy from Bravo. So Andy is like, you know, always cutting up, but it is fun to see them because they drink on air. And, you know, I was at Wendell's house. We had like a couple of people over his house. And so that is what we watched. And it is literally so crazy to watch it because they're literally taking shots and you literally can see them unravel. And like, you know, you could just see Anderson Cooper cutting up. But the real tea of the night was Don. Okay. Now, mind you, for like the last 6 years, Don always kind of is like the satellite guest and he is in New Orleans. And every year, Don is a key. I was reading some of the texts and they were like, it's not New Year's Eve unless Don is Liddy on CNN. And did you watch any of the CNN or did you see any of the clips of Don?
I did not see any of the clips until you told me to. That we're going to be discussing it. So I've seen some of them now, but no, I didn't see any of it until then.
Baby. So he was with this other lady and this other black lady was like co-hosting with him in New Orleans. And so like, obviously it's Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen are like the main hosts, but then like, you know, they would go to like New Orleans for Don and, you know, check back in. And so at one point Don was twerking.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, oh no, okay. And it was the one of the best ones was one. He was talking to the black lady. I can't remember her name, but she was just saying in 2022, she don't want no broke. Okay. And Don was like, wait, what? I didn't hear you. And so she said it on CNN Live like three times. And then Don was like, did you just say no broke? And like it, like the fact that they say that on CNN. So then. The most iconic was when Don was again talking to this beautiful black queen and they were saying something about the holidays and Don was like, you know, what did you say? Say it again about when you with your family on the holidays. Like, you know, and Don was like, you know, are you with black people or are you with Negroes? And it was so funny because and the lady is like, Don, you're not about to get me canceled on CNN. However, they had like a split screen. So you could see Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen like listening and watching. And Bebe, they just stood there because they was like, we don't want any parts of this conversation.
What is going on with him? And this isn't the first time this has happened, right? Hasn't he gotten drunk on live television before?
Yeah, for the last 7 years. And it's like, it's the best. And so mind you, it's funny because I guess like on cable TV, like after 10 o'clock, the censorship comes a lot less as opposed to like one.
The producers are drinking
like,
too. Shit.
Right. And so, but it is just so funny to see these people like let their guards down and like just to see Don Lemon on CNN basically saying like, did you just say you don't want no broke in 2022? Like it is just such a key. But another thing what I loved about Don as he like was wetting the whistle on TV, he was really kind of like cussing people out on the low. Now, Don has had a long history of being a reporter. He's a distinguished reporter. You know, he is an openly gay black man, which I love for representation. But, you know, Don has taken a lot of heat over the years in the sense of he used to be a very, very conservative. Mm-hmm. And I feel like over the years, he's kind of shifted to become a lot more liberal. And then especially in the Trump era, Don just ain't give a F and was like really like speaking his piece. And so due to that, he's gotten a lot of hate, a lot of slack for people that people just don't like him. And
yeah, black people weren't really banging with him for quite some time.
Well, yeah, because he was, I wouldn't go as far as saying problematic, but back in the day, like a lot of his views didn't always align with the majority of like, what black people felt like, a black reporter's view should align with. And especially such in a mainstream TV, like I say, he was very conservative and he was like, you know, he was very in his ways about different things and that's his right, you know, but you know, a lot of like the black community felt like, are you for us or against us? And again, like over time, I feel like his views have changed and especially in the Trump era. Regardless, people just feel how they feel about him. But what I loved about watching Don was that Spicy Don came out and, you know, ever so often he would talk on air and be like, I know a lot of people don't like me. They're not.
I don't give a blank what you think about me. What do you think about that? I don't care. I'm a grown ass man. I don't care what you think about me.
Listen,
people hate on me because I'm a successful black man.
Yes. A black gay man. Yes. And I was like, I low key was feeling that, because you know what? Sometimes you have to let a hater know. And sometimes, like, you know, and he's like, y'all not used to seeing a person like me in a position that I'm in. And guess what? I'm going to continue to be me, and you're going to have to see me. And I was like, you better go off, Don.
He's probably going through it right now a little bit, because I mean, that whole thing with Jussie Smollett sort of like came to light. Ooh. And everybody was like, oh, he's over here like colluding with Jussie, like trying to like, you know, tip him off or whatever. And so I'm sure people were like calling for like his resignation because he was involved in it somehow. So I'm sure everything has sort of like been coming to a head, and that's why it was on his spirit and he said what he had to say.
Yeah, listen, and I feel like, you know, when Spicy Brycey comes out, I feel like sometimes you gotta let people know. And sometimes you got, like, you know, so I just was, for me, just seeing a gay black man as successful and distinguished as Don is, for him, just to like see him just living his life and cutting up. And I just, like, you know, I was like, oh my God, like I could see myself. Like, it was just really, for me personally, inspiring to see that, like, you can still have fun and be yourself. And like, you know, it speaks to others. So I enjoyed the Drunk Don, and just all on Twitter, it, like, he was trending, like Anderson and Andy were trending. Andy was cussing out Mayor de Blasio.
He was? Oh my God, I missed everything.
And then it was also weird was that they swore in the new mayor on New Year's Eve. Like, it was weird, and they like had it on CNN. So obviously it was like shade to Mayor de Blasio, but like, yeah, Andy was cussing him out. Anderson was like letting loose. It was just a good old kiki. So if y'all like have time.
Not the gays being all crazy.
The gays was
TV.
All over CNN. I was like, yes, I'm here for it. I loved it. I did, like, you know, I would like a little change up in the lineup. Like, I love Anderson and Andy, but like, you know, let's, you know, even if it is.
Yeah, I feel like the New Year's shows haven't been hitting recently.
Right. And I love the representation to have like two gay men on there. But like, I, you know, some of my gripes with the LGBTQ plus community is that, like, you know, gay white men aren't all of the LGBTQ plus community.
Right.
I would love to see more representation of that on the mainstream. But you know, that's my story for a different day, but you know, but it was really good to see them. And just like, again, just to see people cutting up. So it literally felt like, you ever go to a work happy hour?
I do my best to avoid actually.
Yeah, well, I've been to a couple or two, and it's like, you know, and some of them people like, there goes Suzanne from the copy of room. I don't like her. But then it's like three shots in. It's Susu with the tit. Like,
yeah,
you know.
It gets real. People get real comfortable.
That is what the CNN New Year's Eve countdown gave me. It gave me very much a work happy hour and just seeing people with their guard down. So it was funny. Also, bang, bang. Did I just click out? So next, what we want to talk about is Miss Tammy Roman. Okay, you might know her from The Real World, Los Angeles. You might know her from Basketball Wives. But Tammy has made herself into a household name. We love Tammy. She does the Bonnet Chronicles. She is very funny. But Paramount Plus has The Real World Homecoming Season 2, and it's reunited the cast members of the original Real World Los Angeles, which includes Tammy, Beth Starlack, David, Glenn, Irene, and John. The Real World Los Angeles first aired back in 1993. Now, Tammy has gone viral this week. There was a lot of memes about Tammy. I don't know if you saw it. You know, she had a bonnet and a cigarette in her mouth and she was pointing. And it really was like, at first I saw the memes, I'm like, what is going on? Then I started reading and I was like, wow, like, although the meme is funny, it is like, you know, I felt like, wow, look at Tammy being the hero. Or I just felt like in this situation, Tammy has been what so many people of color have to be at times. And so I'll give you a background of the story is like, you know, the commotion began towards the end of the episode, which premiered the day before on Paramount Plus. After Tammy asked Irene about her experiences during the Black Lives Matter protests following the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Although Irene, who works for the Los Angeles Police Department, replied that she stood for the protests and their meanings, she also disclosed that she didn't speak up against other bad cops in the past. Tammy shifts the conversation to a second cast member, John, a white man from the South, for his opinions on the topic. John then referred to the children he mentors as black colored. Okay. The situation quickly went downhill after Tammy's other co-star, Glenn, a white man, shared that he too can understand why Tammy was incredibly passionate about the subject because of an experience he encountered with his black friend, John. Okay. John, while claiming he and his friend John were called a racial slur, he says, "The first time I really felt your passion was when I was with my friend John and I went to a pizza place, right? And they called him the N-word, but not just the N-word, the E-R." And he,
the hard R,
the hard R. And Glenn says the hard R. Okay. Like the, and mind you, Tammy is going outside with her cigarette, oh, and she come back with the cigarette, and she like then gets into this like altercation with Glenn about, "I understand what you're saying, but you ain't need to say the N-word." And he's like, "No, but that's what they said." And Tammy's like, "I understand that's what they said, but you don't need to say it."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "You know, no, when they called him that, they called me that." And Tammy had to quickly explain to him, "Baby, you don't need, like, they definitely weren't calling you that. And this, like, you don't, like, I understand what you're saying and I get it, but you don't need to say that word." And then, baby, Irene then jumped in trying to help Tammy by telling him that he doesn't know what it means to be the N-word because he's a white man, while she also repeated the N-word. And Tammy goes, which is like in the most viral clip, it was like, "And you don't say it either. You're Latina." So although it's like, it's a lot to unpack. And although it is like, when you see the clips and you like hear the catchphrases, it is very funny. It is a very serious topic. And I feel like, although both Irene and I feel like Glenn were both coming from what I want to believe is a good place, it still is like, you don't use the word. And, you know, even not even like, you don't use the word, but you don't use the hard R either. Like, it's like, and Tammy tries to explain to them. And I don't know why I got like PTSD, because I feel like a lot of my adult life, I've had to spend time educating some of my non people of color friends, like, mm-hmm. the meaning of it. And like, oh yeah, you might hear it in a Drake song, you might hear it in a Future song, like, yeah, you know, it is a word that us as in the black community have taken back, and you know, people use it how they want to use it, to maybe like, some people use it in an endearing term, some people still use it in a negative term, but it's like, yeah, but you still don't say it, and it's still not appropriate to say it. And like, you know, it's just that whole conversation around the word. And it's just like, you know, here we are 2022, and Tammy is, you know, back in the real world, and yet again she's having to explain this to adult people who have lived through the same life that we have lived through, have gone through the civil rights movement that we just went through with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, everybody. And it's just like, here we are again.
It's wild. I feel like this happens all the time, and it's like the oldest argument that we can have. Something similar happened during Big Brother 20 when Bailey was in the house and JC was talking. He was trying to explain to her why it's not good to use the term midget. Like, they don't, like, little people do not like being called that. They prefer to be called just little people. And he was trying to explain that saying that word is the equivalent to saying the N-word, but he uses the actual word. And Bailey's like, oh, hold on, slow your roll, let's stop right there, let's not do that. And he just couldn't understand. He's like, I wasn't trying to say it, I was just saying that it's the same. I'm like, and Bailey was like, yeah, but you didn't need to say it, like, why say it, just don't say it. And right. So it's just the same thing over and over and over again. It's like, I feel like if people generally want to be respectful, if you don't want to be considered someone who is racially insensitive at the least and racist at the most, then I don't know why people feel like they need to have access to that word.
Right.
I don't even say it half the time, and I'm black. It just doesn't even, it doesn't even taste right coming out of my mouth half the time. Like, it's just such an ugly word. It is wrapped up with so much hatred and pain and death. Like, I don't know why people feel like they need to say it. Even some black people. Now, look, I'm also one that's like, I'm not going to judge anybody for saying it. If you're black, like, I mean, it is what it is. Like, you deal with it the way that you want to.
Right.
But I just, to me, I'm like, just don't say it. I feel like people are just so pissed that they're not allowed to say something, so they say it. And it's like, why, though? Like, right. Why are you being like that?
Yeah, it's this conversation that just never seems to end. And yeah, I definitely don't like the word. I definitely do not like hearing the word, period. But especially, I don't like hearing it coming from not a person of color, and specifically not a black person. Because even, like, I also feel like it sparked a lot of conversation with Tammy and Irene. Because, you know, a lot of, like, you know, Spanish, Latino community use the word as well. And it just sparked a lot of interesting controversy around the word. And for me, it's just like, just don't use it. And definitely don't use the hard R. Like, you know, like, right. It's just like, because for me, I feel like the hard R is, baby, that's something different. And that, like, it's just
like the N-word was like right there. You could have just said, oh my God, right. I was in the bakery, whatever the hell you were saying. I was with my black friend and they called him the N-word. Like, it was right there. Like, why couldn't you just say that? Why did you have to do it?
But for me, it was the audacity of Glenn when Tammy explained it to him and he's still arguing back with her. Like, but I didn't say it. I was saying what they said. Like, sir.
But you just said it.
Sir.
Like, how are you arguing this point, but then you're doing exactly what you're like, make it make sense.
Right. And then he's like, well, they called me that too. Like, no, sir. Trust and believe they weren't like it. They were referring to your friend.
They were not calling, like, you.
Yeah. And yeah. Again, it's like that. I don't even know what the word is. It's because, like, I do feel like his intentions were good. And I feel like a lot of the time, some people's intentions are good. But again, it's the conversation of having to put your pride aside and listen to somebody's lived experience. And, you know, you're saying you felt so offended for your friend, but listen to your friend Tammy and what she is saying. And I think that, again, I feel like with all of the controversy that we've had, political, like racial, homophobic, transphobic, I always feel like if people could just put their pride aside and listen and hear what someone else is saying and be respectful, like, I feel like it's rather simple.
I think it just boils, like, yeah, I think it is a lot of it is a pride thing. I think it always just boils down to people don't like being told that they can't do something. It's like, you know, it's like working with kids. Like, you tell a kid not to do something, it only makes them want to do it. So when people find out, oh, you're not allowed to say this word, they get really defensive about it because they feel like their personal liberties are being infringed upon. Child. It's like, okay, sure, go ahead. Use the word if you want to. But don't get pissed off if a bunch of people get pissed off and you end up losing your job or people don't like you. And like you can't be upset about that. Like, just don't use the word.
Right.
And then a lot of them will, like, go and then just use it in private amongst themselves. Mm. They'll, you know, they're probably listening to, like, Kendrick Lamar and they're saying every single N-word, this N-word, that. And they're like, so many of them do that. Mm-hmm. I've actually walked in. I won't reveal this person, but I've walked in on a former white friend of mine as he was listening to stuff. And he was saying he thought he was alone. He thought that he was by himself. And he was just N-word. It was like he was getting off on it. I was like, and then I walked in the room. He looked at me. I looked at him. I didn't say anything. And then I left. We haven't spoken since.
I also feel like it is such a like for me as like a person of color, like it's uncomfortable. And I won't say no names, but I've had a friend in the survivor community. We were away somewhere and very similar song, a Drake song came on and the N-word played. And like, you know, they said it. And at first I like was like, oh my God, I honestly didn't know what to do in the situation. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, another thing came on and then like they said it again. And like I'm
like in front of you,
like, yeah, like, you know, just like casual, like just saying a word like in the song, like, you know. And it just like
what'd you say?
So it like,
oh my again, God, I want to know who it was.
But it really puts me in an awkward situation because I'm like, you know, I listen to the song. I like the song, like, you know, but just hearing it from coming from that person, it made me feel a little uncomfortable. And at first I'm like, should I not say anything? Should I say anything? And I'll be honest, like the first time they said it in the song made me uncomfortable. I was like, okay, like I'm like, all right. Then another song from morning, they was like, I said, can we have a conversation?
Yeah. And it's always so exhausting too, because like you don't want to be the person that like ruins the mood. You don't want things to become so tense. So like it's sucky that I feel like a lot of the times Black people, we have to like pick and choose our battles.
Right.
Because sometimes you just don't have the energy to deal with that. But at the same time, it's like if you let it go unchecked, they're just going to continue.
Then they're going to just continue to do it. And then for me, it's like if you feel comfortable saying it in the song, like what happens if you get mad at me? And then like, you know, so I calmly was just like, hey, like that makes me uncomfortable. And then the conversation went on like, well, why? Like, I'm like, and of course, you know, the response was like, I'm just singing the song. I'm like
people just have like, they just feel like they have like ownership of it, or like they feel like they have like a shared experience, especially. And I sort of like the fact that Tammy also touched on with the other girl who's Latina. She said, you can't see it either, because a lot of Latin people, for whatever reason, feel like they have like a special window into the experiences of Black people, which sometimes, yes, there's some similarities there. So we feel like, you know, especially like in New York, it's rampant over there. Like,
yes.
They feel like Dominicans and Puerto Ricans feel like they can just say it because they're living right next to us. So they feel like it's, you know, it's a shared identity, but it's not. It's not. You're not. Some of you might be called that because some Puerto Ricans, some Dominicans are Black. Some of them will be called that. Some of you will never be called that. Like, you're not. You would never be referred to that way disparagingly. So no, you don't have that same. It's not. You're not. It's a no. Right. It's a chop. Like, I just feel like people just need to get through that through their minds. And I don't know why people feel like being able to say it is like a badge of honor. And some Black people carry that too, which, once again, I don't like to critique Black people around the N-word too much because it is what it is. But I feel like people like you use it as like a, oh, I'm cool, I have access, I can do this. And it's like, it's not the serve that you think it is, sir.
But there is also something to be said that some Black people feel like, you know, we've retaken the word. And again, like I said earlier, like some people use it as like in term of endearment and like, you know, and again, I understand, and I'd be guilty if it, like the word has never come out of my mouth, not the hard R, but like, you know, but it's just like such a hard conversation because it's like, I understand what and why people like rappers and other people use it. Like when you are in a space of people that look like you, have the same experience. And like, you know, we've taken the word back. However, it does make it a lot harder to then have these conversations with people that are not Black that want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like for me in that situation in that car, like again, I explained to my friend and they were like, but I'm just saying it in a song. I don't mean it like that. But I'm like, it's not like what you mean. It's like just the root of the word. And like, you know, honestly, like hearing it come out of your mouth makes me uncomfortable. And I was nervous because I didn't know like where, like where, what's about to happen. However, the friend was like, got received. And this also made me uncomfortable because they were like, I will never use it in your presence again. And I was just like, ugh. And I felt like they made it a point to be like, in your presence again. And I just was like, well, preferably I would not like for you to use it at all. But, you know, like, you know, and it just like, it made that awkward, like, kind of like just dialogue. And I'm sure many of people of color like have this dialogue, or some people like they don't even want to have it.
Right. At the end of the day, y'all,
don't use it.
Just don't use it. Don't say it. Like,
or I hate like when this has also happened to me, like, well, my friends at home let me say it.
Okay. Ooh. And I'm telling you, they're wrong too. So now what? Like, and it's always like, I feel like people, like, especially white people, I feel like a lot of the time, like when they're about to say it, it's always like a statement. It's like, I'm getting ready to say it. I'm going to say it. It's just like, so you know you're wrong. Like, why are we doing this? It's so stupid.
But nevertheless, the memes, I feel like the memes from this are hilarious and will live in meme history forever. But what I do like about it is I think that it sparks conversations like the one that we are having, and it can educate people a little bit. So that is what I'm grateful for of that. And I'm grateful for the casualty for us to be able to have this type of conversation, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, I always wanted to know, or like, you know, like, well, listen, this is our standpoint on it. And yeah. But keeping the teapot boiling, Juicy Smollett, okay?
Not juicy. I'm finished.
Jesse Smollett, okay? But you know the juicy comment. But mind you, we won't go there because, like, chop that up. That the person that you, he canceled too. So, Jesse from Empire, we all know about. Listen, child. Okay, listen. We all know about that incident that took place with Jesse back in January of 2019, where he claimed two men attacked him on the Chicago street, where they beat him up and shouted homophobic slurs at him. One tied a noose around his neck and it said MAGA country. Okay, you know, when the news first hit the airwaves, we all was like, oh my God, like Jesse, like, you know, everyone came to rally around him. And the days later, Jesse went on a he was on tour at the time because he had released music. Chadi told the audience he fought back. He's the gay Tupac. Okay. That's when I knew, when I saw that clip, that I was like, something ain't right. Then, you know, more details of the alleged incident came out. And, you know, 1 + 1 was not equaling 2.
It was not. The math was not mathing.
Okay. The mathing wasn't mathing. The alleged attackers then, you know, came out and said that basically Jesse hired them, you know, and they used to, in exchange for hiring them and for drugs, you know, Jesse paid them $3,500. And then, you know,
that's not enough.
Okay. Then we learned that Jesse wasn't cooperating with the police. He wasn't giving up his cell phone. When he gave up his cell phone, he was deleting stuff. And, you know, first of all, then, like, you know, why on January at 2 o'clock in the morning, you going to the subway
in the middle of a snowstorm?
In the middle of a snowstorm. Now, mind you, when it first came out, I'm like, oh, he was meeting up with somebody. He was doing a little nasty.
A little scruff.
A little jack. Okay, he was doing a little something. And I'm like, yeah. Then, you know, the reports came out. And basically, like, yeah, the city of Chicago was like, yeah, we're going to make an example out of you. And the city of Chicago sued him for the cost of the investigation. Mm-hmm. And baby, this went to trial. So, and everyone was like, and again, here we are, like, you know, I'm like, What? And my Cardi B voice. What was the reason? What was the reason, bitch? Now you out here making the gays, the black gays, look bad, Jesse.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, when the situation happened, I tweeted. Like, I was like, you know, like, that could have been me. Like, you know, how many times in the middle of the night have I maybe had a little munchies and I'm walking to the corner, no, like, you know.
I know my ass was tweeting, too. Like, justice for... Let me see if I can see what I tweeted that day. Because I'm sure I was just like you over here, like, justice for Jussie, man. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, go ahead.
The thing about it is... It's just such a lie. It's such a bad lie.
And bad. But here's my question for you, Iman. Honestly, though, like, what was the reason? Like, did you do this to, like, raise your... First of all, you already were on Empire. Empire, well, mind you, the ratings on Empire at that time were, like, failing. But they were still, like, 5 million people were watching it a week. Like, do you really believe that, like, honestly, like, he staged this to, like, raise his profile?
I don't know. I don't know how that would have raised your profile. I don't think that people are going to automatically be like, oh, come be in this movie. Come be on this TV show.
He had music out. He released an album. He was on tour.
Oh, I didn't even know that. See, well. Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, baby, like, release a sex tape. Release a new, mind you, his
Do it the old-fashioned way.
Like, you know, like, I just don't understand. But baby, in December, and so then, like, you know, Jesse and his team leading up to December had, like, you know, tried to get the case dismissed. The district attorney of Chicago said, no, baby, we're going to court. And listen, the court lasted all of a week. But baby, the tea that Jesse was dropping during the court trial. He then said that one of the twins that used to work on the set, like, were lovers, or not lovers, but, like, you know, they had got crystal meth, marijuana.
That's what I think. That's what happened here.
Then they went to a bathhouse.
Yeah, this was...
Then they was kissing, but they didn't touch. You was at a bathhouse, though?
Y'all were banging, like,
at a bad house.
Like, you don't go and, like, no one is, like, you don't have history with this person at a bathhouse and nothing happened between the two of y'all.
And, like, you got crystal meth, sir.
Like,
first of all, like, the fact that bathhouses still exist are, like, beyond, like,
oh, what you mean? You live in Philly. This is like, well,
bathhouse city. Listen, I had no idea. Mind you, because I learned a lot over this holiday weekend hanging with my cousins and friends.
Oh,
and
did, like, you go to a bathhouse place?
No, I did not. But, like, when I think of bathhouses, I always think of, like, you know, like the 90s, like, white gay movies of, like, you know, and, like, I was educated that, like, child, really a bathhouse is just a place that, like, houses men that can, like, they were like LA Fitness. I was like, oh my God, what? I was like, what? They're like, have you ever, like, so mind you, I don't know how we got to the subject, but, like, you know, they also, somebody was telling me, like, you know, an adult bookstore, an adult video store, like, if they have, like, that back room, which I always, mm-hmm, like, you know, they're like, bitch, that's a bathhouse. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, I am so naive to things.
They be real nondescript, too. In the front, you just be thinking this any old random.
Right. And I'm like, how is this legal? So anyway, I just, like, my mind was blown. Like, I was like, are you kidding me?
I mean, it's legal because technically you're not really doing anything illegal.
You know? I mean, right. I just, like, for me, like, I was just like, oh my God.
It's marketed as, like, a spa, but if you choose to indulge in other activities, then so be it. I had a friend of mine was telling me about two other friends that I don't know. I don't know these people, but they were, mm-hmm, they're a couple. I swear. And they weren't gay. They were straight. It was a couple. And they went to some place in, like, Rittenhouse Square. It was like a spa, like, massage therapy place or whatever. And they separated them. Like, they both, like, got, like, separate massages. And then they brought them back together. And then they put them in this room. And then they just locked the door. They were like, have fun. And they were both like, what the hell? Like, this was not what we came here for. And, like, I was like, so did they do anything? And they were like, yeah, they just went ahead and did it. Because what else were they going to do? I was like, what?
Yeah, like maybe I'm a prude. Like, I don't know. But I was just like, oh my God. They're like, and my, like, again, like my cousins and my friends, like we were like, it was just like this whole conversation. And like people were so shocked at like how mind blown that I was. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway,
out here.
Yeah, and I'm not judging. Don't, like, I hope nobody gets this as judging, but like, honestly, I just like had no idea.
It's bad. I will say there is some illegal activity that goes on, not necessarily with bathhouses, but like with other like massage places.
Well, yeah, well, listen.
You go in there for a massage and then you end up getting something else. Like,
a couple of places where I used to live, like in Montgomery County, like three massage places got raided. I was like, oh my God.
A Chinatown.
Listen. So, and mind you, and a lot of those spas are connected to like sex trafficking and like, like, you know, all of that like crazy stuff. So anyway, like, okay, Purple Pants Posse, y'all got a lesson on
Philly be having some, like, one more thing. Did you hear about that one cult or like, yeah, it was like a cult or like a sex trafficking, organization that like was like pretty active in Philly like a couple years ago. Like my roommate almost got picked up by one of them. So, like, they were just walking around, like, in broad daylight in Rittenhouse Square. It was, like, some lady talking about, like trying to, like, lure in other girls. Like, hey, have you heard of, like, this women's church or whatever? And, like, mm-hmm. You would, like, start talking with her. And then the next thing you know, you get grabbed in the alley. It's crazy.
So, I have heard of that because when I used to be a social worker for child welfare around 2017, 2018, and 2019. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's when it was. Yep.
There was a huge ring, and especially like in the Philadelphia, Montgomery, Delaware, and Chester area of like child trafficking. And we had to like change our protocols to be able to, when there was like just like being a mandated reporter and like when you suspect of anything, like, so like we were so busy, and I can't tell you how many cases during that time period we got of like sex trafficking and child trafficking. Like, it's something that you don't think happens, but like, baby, the numbers, and the numbers, literally, it's like in your backyard. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But enough about that. But yeah, so Jesse was basically saying they went to a bathhouse, they didn't do nothing. But here's the thing, Jesse, how you gonna spill some tea but not all the tea? Like, see, your lies don't even make sense.
I don't know, like, why he's like trying to like protect, because it seems like they're like trying to protect the nature of the relationship. And it's like, I think it's pretty clear. Like, it's,
well,
like,
no, he was trying to discredit them because, like, you know, the twins had come out and basically were saying like, he hired us. We wanted nothing to do with us. So, like, I'm assuming Jesse's defense was trying to show that, like, they were, like, around each other. And, like, you know, but it actually did bad for him because it's like, you know, yeah, you were around them. Like, you know, why was your cell phone tower pinged 2 days before the attack with the guy in your car, like, going around where the alleged incident happened at? And it was just like, I felt like the way Jesse was, like, making, trying to, like, now probably won't say this word wrong, salacious, trying to like yes, give all these salacious details. So really, I felt like, to kind of like get the people to be like, ooh, but like, no sis, it's really not boding well for you.
Feel like this was like some kinky sex thing that went wrong. They were drugs involved, drunk and high, and then things just like one little lie just ended up blowing up, and then it became like this huge ordeal when really it was just like a disagreement between.
I agree that Jesse and the one brother was doing a nasty, had like a relationship, and maybe like one high night, Jesse was like, oh, y'all should kidnap me and I'll pay you. And it would like raise my profile. Like, honestly, like, you know, because like after it happened, every major headline, everything, everyone picked it up.
Mm-hmm. I will say that, like, cause I hate that there are people that are trying to, especially I've seen it a lot on like Fox News, a lot of people are saying like, oh, look at y'all, like, you guys were dumb for believing him. I'll say, no, we were not dumb for believing him, but I will say that there was a piece of me when the story broke that was like, this is kind of insane. Like,
right
in Chicago, someone got a noose and beat his ass up and tried to hang him in the middle of the street in Chicago. It just felt off.
Definitely. And listen, I think the jury took 9 hours, came back on December 9th, 2021, the trial concluded. Smollett was found guilty of 5 of the 6 counts of disorderly conduct related to filing a false police report about a battery and false police report about a hate crime, according to the New York Times. The actor was not found guilty on one count relating to telling detectives 2 weeks after the incident that he was the victim of an aggregated battery assault. So it's just like, yeah, and he can face, I believe Jesse can face up to 3 years in prison and $25,000 of fines.
I don't know if I need him to be in jail for 3 years. Maybe a few months, I would say. I think that's fair. Because at the end of the day, while what he did was very wrong and extremely damaging to members of the LGBT community, specifically
black
gay people, all he really did was effectively lie. I don't think that you necessarily need to be serving years in prison for that. But you did wait. He definitely needs to get heavy fines. And maybe a couple of months to be sitting there, because I feel like you can't get away with doing this. It's just not okay.
Yeah, no. And I just like, where does he go from here?
Yeah.
Cause he's still out and about. He's still like, you know,
feel like he was doing just fine. Like, I feel like what? Like, are you mad that like Empire's over? Like, I don't get it.
And people say he ended Empire because then the next season like was the last season, because like, you know, they didn't know where, like he was effectively removed from the cast. And then I don't think they killed his character off, but because I stopped watching, I'll have to ask my mom.
I haven't watched since like season two. Oh my God.
I haven't watched on season one, but you know, my mom loved it. My mom was like all up in it. And like, you know, my mom was like so disappointed. But yeah, like that was just crazy. I don't even understand it. But keeping it also moving, in Lafayette, Louisiana, city court judge resigned Friday over a video that surfaced earlier in the month showing people using racist language at her home. Michelle Oden apologized and took a leave of absence after the video became public. It showed surveillance footage being played on a television at her house of an outdoor altercation with a burglary suspect. As the unseen spectators watched the video, they commented on the footage while repeatedly using a racial slur. And not only the people, she used the racial slurs repeatedly. Okay. After the video broke, of course, you know, what did she do? She takes to Twitter. I take full responsibility for my hurtful words I used to describe an individual who burglarized the vehicles at my home, Oden wrote in her resignation letter. After much reflection and prayer, in order to facilitate healing with the community, I hereby resign as the judge of Lafayette City Court, effective immediately. Girl, bye. Okay. Her departure comes after the New Orleans District Attorney Jason Williams said last week he ordered his civil rights division to review all cases prosecuted by her, as they should. So I don't know if you guys have seen this video that has been circulating around. I first saw it on TikTok, then it made its way to the Twitters, then the Instagrams, and I see it on Facebook now, where it is a video, and you don't really know what happens, but it's like black and white, and you see like these people having an altercation, and I don't know if it is Michelle's sons that are with her, but they're laughing at like this video of, I guess, somebody trying to rob her car, and they're like, look at these N-words, and then Michelle's like, one N-word, two N-words, three N-words, they're all little N-word, like, it's just like, sis, and again,
calling them roaches,
and they're like little roaches, and for me, it's like the comfortability of you in your own home to say these words. And yes, I am so happy that the District Attorney Jesse Williams opened up an investigation to review all of her cases, because if this does not show that she has a bias, and again, people be like, oh, I don't see color. No, you should. And it's like, for me, that's just like, again, we've talked
and
about
the fact that her kids are in the video saying it too.
And that's a word that you and your kids could just say around each other. And again, which is why we just had this whole conversation. It's like, don't use a word.
Yep. You thought you were in your house by yourself. And now look at you.
But also for me, it's the audacity that like clearly one of the kids or the kids' friends felt comfortable enough to post this.
I want to know the story behind that. Like, did we ever find out who posted it?
I don't know.
And what did they do it to expose her?
I think let me just look. Let me see if I can, because mind you,
it's such a shame, because like you said, it clearly shows that she has a bias, and mm-hmm. how many people have come through her courtroom where she automatically has a pre-judgment of whether or not they are guilty or innocent or whatever it is. Like,
well, if she thinks of them as little roaches, like, do you think it's going to be a fair trial? Do you think she's going to show, like, and again, not that this has any correlation, but I just think about that judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. And I just think of, like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, you know, you see how much empathy and how much, like, you know, how that judge was just so caring and, you know, looking at photos with him. And it's just like, you know, you don't want to think this,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, time and time again, it shows.
And I love how she, like, tried to, like, spin it. So it was like, well, we were victims of a robbery.
Yeah,
like,
girl, that don't have nothing to do with nothing.
Okay, you got robbed by somebody who's black. Sorry about it. But that don't mean that you need to be calling him the N-word and calling him a roach. And, like, come on now. Like, no, sis, that's not how this works. Like, I'm sorry that you lost your things, but now you're going to lose your job as well. So it is what it is.
Yeah. And it's just like, that's... And we don't have to go deep into this, but again, it's just like our judicial system in this country is just so flawed. And again, I don't feel like all judges are like this, like, but it's like, you know, sometimes that one rotten apple spoils the bunch. And it just like, And again, for me, in every situation that I go into, when I feel like my interaction with a police officer or my interaction with anyone, like, people wonder, like it always just goes to the back of my mind. Like, was I treated this way because I'm black? Was I treated this way because I'm gay? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's like, you know, other people don't live like that. Like, but for me, I do. Like, for me, it's just an everyday
Damn,
part
she
of-
just got that gig, too. She got it in November of 2020 and then lost it a year later. Damn. Mm.
Rightfully so. So I'm like looking and I don't see how the video got released.
Yeah, that's crazy. I feel like it was somebody in her family that was just like, you know what? Let me get this girl real quick.
Right. Because like, yeah, like it's just, and again, it's just the comfortability. And it's like you using it around your kids and y'all just kiki and laughing. Like,
yeah, the kids were like, oh my God, mom is saying me an N-word. I'm like, oh my God. Like, so you're just breeding more racist. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Good for you, ma'am. Well, the apple don't fall far from the tree.
But for me, it's always the statements afterwards. Like, I'm so, after much prayer and much, like, girl.
I ask for forgiveness for the words that I have used. I know that they have hurt my community. And I just want you guys to just believe me when I say I'm sorry. You're not sorry, girl. You're not. You got caught.
You're not at all.
Like, you don't just stop being racist because you got exposed. That's not how it worked. And now you're going to sit there. I hope they replace her with somebody black. Oh, I hope that they replace her with somebody black.
I want to follow up on this story because I really want to see what comes out of this investigation. I want to know if any of her rulings have been overturned. Like, that for me is like really what I want to know.
I know. Yeah.
But keeping the teapots boiling. Okay, the CDC has released a statement. Given what we currently know about COVID-19 and the Omicron variant, CDC is shortening the recommended time for isolation for the public. People with COVID-19 should isolate for 5 days. And if they are asymptomatic or their symptoms are resolving without fever for 24 hours, follow that by 5 days of wearing a mask when you are around others to minimize the risk of infecting people they encounter. This change is motivated. Now, this is the part that gets me in this statement that they released, is this change is motivated by science demonstrating that the majority of the SARS-CoV-2 transmission occurs early in the course of illness, generally 1 to 2 days prior of the onset of symptoms, and then 2 to 3 days after. Now, saw this, was like, oh, okay, you know, because back, you know, back early pandemic, it was isolate for 2 weeks, 14 days. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you know, 5 days. I said, well, that's, you know, really different. And I wouldn't have thought much of it. But I also learned that in a letter, the CEO, the CDC's decision comes days after Delta's airline CEO sent the head of the CDC a letter advocating for a shorter isolation period. Mm. In the letter, the CEO, Ed Baston, along with the airline's medical advisor and chief health officer, asked the CDC to consider shortening the isolation period to 5 days for those experiencing a breakthrough infection. With the rapid spread of the Omicron variant, the 10-day isolation for those who are fully vaccinated may significantly impact workforce and operations, the Delta officials wrote. Now, this my thing with it, okay? this spicy Brycey coming real quick. Now, you know, listen, I ain't with all the conspiracy theories. You know, I listen, I hear, but, you know, I'm with that the virus is real, and I'm with that we need to take precautions, and I'm with that we need to get vaccinated. Now, here is where I feel like I be like, because I feel like we just went through this pandemic. We still in it, but, you know, we know what last year was giving. We know the shutdowns. We know the stimulus checks. You know, all of that. Like, you know, our country took a hit. You know, even though it's like, child, y'all got money for war. Them stimmies check ain't hurt y'all that bad. Okay, because listen, y'all still taking taxes out of my check. But anyway, I digress. And like, you know, I felt like prior to the Omorion popping up, I felt like the world was seeming like we getting popping again. Like, you know, I felt like the world was like, you know, just felt like a little more normal, not like, but the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
Then Omorion said, bump, bump, bump. And, you know, the rapid spread and like people like testing positive all over. And like, I really feel like, you know, the CDC's decision to learn that it comes days after they got a letter from Delta Airline basically saying to lower the isolation because, like, it's going to mess up with their money, essentially. And I really feel like, is this 5-day isolation really from the science, or is it really to be like, we can't have this many people out of work and we still need to, like, generate money for the economy? And, like, again, I just feel like, okay, is this, like, where, like, are y'all putting money over to people, which we already know that you do because you can just look at our healthcare and know that our healthcare is for profit and not really for the people. But that gives me pause.
Capitalism! Like, it's like, it's so blatantly obvious too. It's like, how are we are still in this pandemic? Like, we are not out of the woods. How, when you guys claim that we don't know enough about this virus, that we still have so much that is undetermined about COVID, how is it that you are comfortable with shortening it not just from like 14 to 5 days? You shaved off 9 days? Really? About a virus that y'all keep claiming that we don't know enough about? You shaved off 9 days of quarantine? Like, is this... I feel like we're in a simulation. We are.
Like, right. And a lot of the flight attendants come out and are saying that, like, you know, as flight attendants who are at higher risk of exposure by more people, saying that they hope their workplace implements longer isolation periods than following the CDC guidelines. Yeah, the CDC guidelines is because your employers went to them and said shorten it. Like, yeah, just for me, like, it's just
paying,
like,
y'all, who is paying the CDC to say this stuff?
And then, like, for me,
help.
I feel like then it feeds the anti-vaxxers. It feeds, like, this type of stuff.
Yes.
See? See? See?
Yep. Yep.
And I'm like, I don't even have a comeback. Because I'm like, I see it.
Because they're crazy. Exactly. It's
But I'm vaccinated. I mean, I wear a mask.
They want people back at work.
They try to make up for this money that they spent. And I don't, like, for me, that's disheartening, because it's like, you know what? Y'all are thinking about y'all interests and not the well-being of the society.
And it would be one thing if, like, tests were easily accessible, things of that nature. Like, if we were doing what China is doing right now, like, China, like, I just saw a video of, like, they have, like, these big-ass warehouses that have, like, dozens and dozens of tents in them, and each tent is capable of testing up to 10 people. It's like, if we had something like that in our infrastructure, then maybe I could understand, okay, well, you know, maybe we can shorten the quarantine period because there's resources out here. But people are literally, I couldn't find not one damn
no test. Child, then, listen, then for me to get a rapid test, $75.
Crazy.
Like, oh, okay, but I can get the PCR test that takes 4 to 5 days to get back because the labs are so overworked. And, like, if I'm going spread, like, you know, like, make it make sense.
And we're supposed, like, to be, like, one of the richest countries on the face of the globe. And we bought up all of these tests. And there are other countries that still don't have access to tests until, like, 2024. And yet here we are. People stockpiling, and I know people, and locally too, it's not even just the government, but locally too, people are going to these CVSs and buying
up
all
them
of
home
the
kits.
Exactly. And then trying to sell them. It's just like, we are so off the target here. It's so bad.
It's like, now, again, another thing that a lot of, like, the anti-vaxxers or other people have been saying is that, and which I don't necessarily disagree with, but I feel like they've turned the pandemic into a money make. Like, it's now about, like, just because I just feel like the test, like, you know, like it just, for me, it's a sad situation and a concerning situation of, like, people that, like, of this pandemic. And I feel like the higher ups and the people that control things, like, they're putting money first. And, like, you know, they're like, okay, it's a pandemic, but how can we make this money? How can we get this? Now, mind you, I say that. I still believe the virus is real. Like, you know, I'm still vaccinated and I still will wear a mask. But, like, you know, it's just like,
oh, I know the virus is real now. Shit.
Right. The goblin in the attic. but yeah, it's just like, it's just like, and again, it just, I also, and speaking of the lines of this, then I get nervous for, like, I believe it is, like, maybe this summer or it's, this summer or this time next year is when the campaign's going to start revving back up.
Yep.
And I get anxiety.
I just feel like there's, like, such a lack of compassion here. Like, even at my job, like, I told them when I tested positive for it, and they told me, I was like, I need to quarantine for 10 days. And they were like, actually, no, because you called out sick on the 21st. So that's when your symptoms started, which means that after the 31st, you can come in. Oh, clearly here I am still. At this point, it has been over 10 days since my symptoms started, but I'm still coughing. Like, if I walk into the office and people around me see me coughing, like, are you really sure that you want me back in the office at this point?
Right. Like, and first of all, how dare you tell me about my health?
Right.
Like, excuse me. I will tell you when I get a positive result, I'll be back.
They just want everybody. They want their asses in the office. And it's like, why? Mm. Especially when I can do my job at home. Mm. There are a few things here and there that I need, though, I would need to come into the office for, but they're not essential. I can always have someone else do it. Or just wait a little longer and then come in and do it when I get back. Like, it's
right.
It's so stupid.
Let me take my sick time and let me go about my business. So yeah, I just thought that was so interesting with the CDC and all of this information coming out. But listen, people, stay safe. Okay, get vaccinated. Wear your mask and isolate if you feel like you're sick or around somebody that has been sick. Now, the last teapot that is on the tea kettle is a one that has been making the way around the internet. This is something that I wanted to talk about a while ago, and there's updates to it. So I'll just read the updates, whatever. But Colorado's Governor Jared Polis is commuting the sentence of the truck driver who was sentenced to 110 years in prison for an interstate wreck that killed four people. He announced Thursday, calling the sentence highly atypical and unjust. Rogel Lozado Aguilera was convicted in October on four counts of vehicular homicide. He was driving a semi-tractor trailer in April 2019, traveling at 85 miles per hour when his brakes failed. So let's just be clear. Driving for work, his brakes failed. Rogel was not under the influence. Rogel was not texting. Rogel was driving with a seatbelt on, driving. He told investigators at the time he tried to pull over to the shoulder to avoid stopped traffic, but another semi had already stopped there, according to the arrest affidavit. The crash led to a 28-car pileup, and it left four dead. The length of the sentence was due to a change in their sentencing laws from the prior governor, and it's with their maximum sentences. So basically, that's just like if you have basically just saying like, you know, a formula for sentencing. So if like, okay, four people died, each person that has died, and it's like any type of homicide, that's like 30 years per person. So for like, you know what I mean? So it's not... The law doesn't look into, or the sentencing with these maximum sentences don't look into anything else. It's just like a homicide, four people die. This is it. 110 years. And, you know, Horrell is 28 years old. He's got a wife, got a son, and for all purposes, did not do anything. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. People died and that is sad. And like, you know, but like, it was an accident.
I do want to know how he ended up going so fast.
So, I mean, wherever he was at in Colorado, I think the speed limit was like 85.
I thought they said that the speed limit was like 50 something and he was going 85. Like he was like well over the, like, was it? Cause if your brakes failed
and like you can't stop it, that, and you know,
were you just accelerating? Like, was it downhill? Like, how did you get? Like, were they able to prove, like, did they like look into the truck to see like if the brakes indeed were like not?
So yeah, no, the brakes absolutely failed. So that's confirmed.
Okay.
But again, like, imagine you driving home from Pittsburgh, your brakes fell, and like you cause an accident that happens to be like a fatal, but you didn't do anything wrong. And again, like, I understand, like, again, maybe he was going over the speed limit, but like 110 years.
And 110 of course, years is not justice.
Right.
It's extremely excessive. Like, and it was, what was heartening to me about this story was the fact that the family members of the victims, the people that were killed, also agreed. They were like, this is, he does not need to be in jail for 110 years.
Right.
And I kind of want to read a little bit more into it because I am sort of like, because if the brakes did fail, if this was an accident through no fault of his own, I'm kind of interested to see how he even is serving time at all.
Well, right. And that, again, that is the question. And I don't know if it has to do with the result of the Colorado laws passed by the legislator, signed prior by the governor, of the sentencing. And again, I don't know if it's because it is a vehicular homicide and people have died. Like, I don't know if that plays a role into it. But yeah, and again, it's this young person of color, like, out here making a living. And again, I know this is like off topic, but like interesting for me. And when I talk about our judicial system, because here we have Alec Baldwin on a movie set with a loaded gun, killed somebody. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's different. Now, granted, different laws, different, like, you know, but Alec was never arrested, you know, cooperated with the police. But I just also feel like the judicial system, like, you know what I mean? You know, yes. Like, I just feel like it's
looking a little double standardy. I mean, granted, he did kill four people. Alec Baldwin only killed one, but still, it's a loss of life.
It's the same thing. Accidental death.
Accidental.
And it really wasn't until, and this is the thing that like kind of annoys me
about the national attention that it got.
Yes. It wasn't until the national attention that people, and here's another thing. Shout out to all of the truck drivers in Colorado. Because when this started making its rounds, all of the truck drivers that drove, that had routes to drive through Colorado or drove in Colorado, baby, they went on strike.
As they should.
They went on strike. And this was right before Christmas. They was like, y'all want y'all Christmas gifts. Y'all want y'all this. We not doing none of this until the law is like, until something is done. And it wasn't unlike celebrities like Kim Kardashian calling for a lesser penalty. More than five people signed a petition asking for the governor to reduce his sentence. And so the good thing about this is that, like, you know, I feel like they answered the people's, like, they, like, you know, they responded. And, you know, the governor took action and, like, you know, he lessened his sentence to 5 years to 10 years and he could possibly be eligible for parole in five. And so, like, that is the good thing. And again, I just think that, like, when we come together for a good cause and when we unite, like, we can get it done. But I just also feel like, if this did not get national attention,
he would have been sitting in there rotting.
He would have been sitting there for rotting. And I just feel like it shouldn't take 5 million people. And again, the judge's hands were tied in the sense of the judge was like, this is the maximum sentence, like in this law. But like the judge, like the, I just feel like,
can you like use your discretion? That's hello? Literally your job is to, like your job is discretion. Like what is, okay. Like
that's like, for me, that's what, again, and again, I don't listen. I don't, it just, again, our judicial system is flawed. And yeah, if this did not get national attention, if this like 5 million, like, you know, if the truckers in Colorado didn't shut down, like this poor young man with a child and a wife, like, it's just like, and don't get me wrong, I am not minimizing the lives of the people that were lost at all. But you know, accidents happen.
Right. It was an accident.
And it's out of our control. It'd be different if he was drunk. It'd be different if he was on drugs. It'd be it would be a lot of things different. But like when you look at the facts of this case,
it was just a perfect storm of chaos. And it just, you know, it was ended up killing four people. But it, like, our justice system is so like archaic in a lot of ways, just like an eye for an eye. Hammurabi's code, like, is like sort of like well steeped in it. Like when you someone. If there's a life that is lost, people demand that someone else's life must get messed up somehow. Mm-hmm. And that's not always what real justice actually looks like.
Right. And for me, I also think of, like, you know, how many other cases with these maximum sentences are people sitting in jail? And you know what I mean? It's just like, this is just the one case that we know of.
Like for lesser things too.
For, right. And it's like, we know our prison system is a for-profit system. The people, like our prisoners in jail, are making products that companies are then selling. Like, it's just like, listen, and mind you, you've heard the conversation of, like, you know, like the prison system is like the new slavery system. Like these people are working in there for 35 cents an hour.
For peanuts, baby.
For peanuts. For them making stuff for manufacturers that then sell it for hundreds of dollars. The living conditions in which the people live in are horrible. It's just like,
ooh, yeah. I can never go to prison. Honey.
I used to, I used to have to like go to our county jail to have like visitations, like to bring the children to visit with their parents when like some of the parents, and it was court ordered. And, I remember like, we had to take a training before we went to the jail. Now, mind you, off topic, but y'all know, like, I'm, like, low-key obsessed with, like, jail and, like, you know, all of that. Like, it's always been just something so interesting to me, being as though I was, like, very young when my brother went away to prison. And so we had to take this training before, like, I could be, like, the assigned social worker to take these children. And they were like, do you want a tour? And mind you, everyone was like, no. I was like, yes. And like, just, like, because I just was like, well, one, I wanted to see the boys. And I just wanted to, like, I wanted to, like, see. And the one thing that like I will never forget is like when like they like brought me into one of these like units, it was the smell for me. I just like that smell. Like, it just like no sunlight, just seeing like these living quarters. Yeah, it was just really eye opening for me.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary about like the experiences of trans people in prison, and it's desolate. It's really dark. Like, it's it is not a good place to be at all.
And especially if you are, and depending on what state or depending on what county you are, sometimes they'll they will house the trans, like the trans women in general population in the men's facility. So, but yeah, horrible, disgusting. And yeah, they're the year 2022, we need reform. Okay.
We do. We need, like, we,
all over the place.
I just need this year to be good. I need this
Well,
year
and
to
mind good. You, I saw a tweet that was like, somebody was like, I just realized that you say 2022 is like 2020, comma, T-O.
Oh, no, 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 don't tell me that.
I was like, ooh, I hope that that can't be true.
No.
Don't say that. But I am excited for the new year. I just feel like the last 3 years have made me, like, I'm excited for the personal growth and, like, you know, my friendships and all of that. But, like, as a society and as the world, child, I'm a little jaded. I'm nervous. Yes. I'm watching. Listen, that Tammy meme with her with the cigarette pointing. Listen, 2022, come in here, sit down.
And shut the F up.
Shut the F up and just do what you gotta do. Keep it cute.
Act like you've been somewhere.
Okay. Act like you've been raised with some sense.
We need it. We really do need it. Like, I feel like the past 2.5 years have just been.
It's been a lot. Easy. It has been a lot. But one of the highlights of these past 2 years has been the casual tea.
Yes.
I'm just so happy that we have cultivated a space where we can have difficult, fun, intriguing, thought-provoking conversations, and I'm just so happy to have them with you. I'm so blessed that, you know, 2021 brought you in my life, and yes, I am excited. So before we conclude this week's casual tea, what you working on, Amon? What's the tea? What's going on? Give us the updates.
I am out here, you know. Always follow me at Amon Adwin on Twitter and Instagram. I have just recorded a podcast for the upcoming season of Drag Race. I'll be back for that with Beth and Liana over on Rahap Ups. I also will be teaming up with Grace Leader, who will be helping me podcast about Euphoria on Post Show Recap. So,
yeah.
You know, I've got some stuff coming in the pipeline. Celebrity Big Brother's about to start up. I feel like this is going to be a messy ass season. I'm kind of here for it.
So, do we know anything about any of the cast?
We don't. I mean, it's been heavily, heavily speculated for quite some time now that Todrick Hall is probably going to be on the cast. Like, I feel like it's sort of like, I feel like it's like all but confirmed that he's on the cast. Now, but as far as anybody else is concerned, we don't really know. They've been
what about
pretty
Tiffany,
much
New York?
You know, people might find this kind of surprising. I kind of don't know if I want her on the show anymore. I have been like the biggest Tiffany fan for so long. And of course, if she's on the show, I'm going to love it still. But a piece of me is like, I don't know if I want her on the show, because I feel like she's always heavily speculated each year. And I feel like other celebrities are going to try to get her out as soon as they walk in, because they're like, oh my god, everybody wants her on this show, she's like gonna be a fan favorite, get rid of her. And I don't know if I can handle that, because if I have to watch that happen, I'm gonna be pissed. So like,
the one thing about New York, she always surprises and makes a way. So I don't know,
you might be right.
I don't know. Well, listen, y'all got the deets on Amon, and we will be back with some more casual tea, because it's the casual tea with Amon and B. It's the casual tea with Amon
and B. Yeah.
Bump, bump, bump.
Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message for you. Barb's got a message for you.
is Barb, and I want to begin by wishing everyone a happy, healthy, loving, peaceful new year. 2021 was such an emotional roller coaster ride for all of us, and I'm thankful we all made it through. With that in mind, I want to share this piece with you. There will always be sadness and anger, hurt, heartaches, disappointments, and frustrations. The way towards peace is never by avoiding these feelings. And it is never by sealing these emotions inside without a way to let them out. Peace is found in learning what your mind and soul need to do to process these emotions in a healthy way. Peace is found in learning how to let out your anger and hurts in a way that brings you back to feeling light and free again. Peace is found in accepting that life will bring every emotion and that it is up to you how you want to ride with them. You can ignore them as long as you can, but they will fester and grow until one day you have no choice but to release them. You can fight them, but you will never find peace through fighting with yourself and the emotions you are feeling. So you must learn how to let yourself feel them fully and learn to let them go to return to your peace. Once again, Happy New Year. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. Yes, it is a clean slate, but with sad news, the world has learned that the great actress that is Betty White passed away on New Year's Eve. She was 99 years old. She was slated and excited to make it to her 100th birthday on January 17th. She recently did an interview with People magazine stating that she felt that she was in really good health and just excited to be the age that she was. We all know Betty White from her iconic role as Rose Nylon from the sitcom The Golden Girls that aired in 1985 to 1992. Y'all know Rose was from St. Olaf, and she just was the biggest key on The Golden Girls. I remember as a young child going to my dad's house every other weekend, and my Aunt Helen would always be watching The Golden Girls. And I remember like eating dinner, watching The Golden Girls and being like, oh, this is like, what? Like, I don't want to watch this. Where's Nick at Night? And as a young adult in my college years, I discovered The Golden Girls again and how funny they were. I literally can watch The Golden Girls to this day and I will crack up at a Blanche. I will crack up at a Sophia. I will crack up at a Rose. And, you know, Rose was the last living member of The Golden Girls. They all have gone before her. And she just lived an amazing life. 99 years old. She had got her start in acting at such a young age. Betty started acting her senior year of high school, where she played the lead role in the high school play, and she skipped college and began performing on the radio. But before launching her acting career, she married twice. First to Dick Baker, a World War II pilot. She wed in 1945. Then in 1947, to her agent, Lane Allen, one of her first syndicated nationally sitcoms was The Life of Elizabeth. Okay. Betty been out here working. In the 1950s, she appeared on a game show called Password. Miss Betty was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Okay. She was on Happy Homemaker. She just did a lot. And, you know, for me, what I most know of Betty is from the Golden Girls as Rose. And then even after that ended, just in the last 5 years, being on SNL, doing commercials with NeNe Leakes, she just lived such a full life. She was so fun. And I just, Betty is Rose to me. And, you know, from St. Olaf, like, it just is so important to give people their flowers while they are here. And one thing that I do know is that Betty received her flowers while she was here. People celebrated and loved on her, and she was an iconic actress. She may be gone in the physical sense, but her spirit and legacy will live on forever. My great grandmother, Mama, always told me that good people always pass in their sleep. And it is being reported by Betty White's agent that she passed in her sleep. And yeah, what better way to go than to just go to sleep and not think of anything else? Betty, your legacy will truly live on forever. And the way I honor people and the way that I give people their flowers is making them Freak of the Week. If Betty White is Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to an end of our first podcast of the year. Thank you so much for listening and supporting your baby boy. It truly means the world to me. If you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We are there. Hit the subscribe button. Write your baby boy a review. Give me some 5 stars and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that we are starting with a clean slate, because
it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.